Welcome to Ink in Your Veins. I'm your host, Rachel Herron. In this podcast, I talk to authors about the best things they've learned about writing so we can try those things too. I'll keep each episode short so you can get back to writing. Well, hello, writers. Welcome to episode number 429 of Ink in Your Veins. So glad that you're here with me today as we are talking to my dear friend, Jay Thorne. You know him. You love him. You have been subscribed to at least 17 or 18 of his podcasts in the past. He's here and we're talking about getting unstuck. And this is, of course, related to my Kickstarter for Unstuck, An Audacious Hunt for Home and Happiness, which is available now at rachelherron.com/unstuck, or just Google Rachel Herron and Unstuck. It will come right up. The reason I loved talking to Jay about this is that Jay was really around for a lot of this decision. I know we were doing our show, The Writer's Well, which was previously called The Pedal to the Metal. When we started talking about moving to New Zealand and started making that decision of moving around the world, Jay and I were discussing things. And the whole reason we started our show was that he had been on my show and we just liked each other so much. And he was in the process of getting unstuck out of his teaching job into full-time writing. And we started our show because I had moved from my full-time job to a full-time job of writing not long before, very close to around that time. And he was about a year behind me. So we kind of chronicled that time of him moving out of his job. We would ask each other questions. I believe those episodes are all still up there and they're wonderful. And he helped me every step of the way as I moved into this full-time writing gig. And I like to think I helped him a little bit too as he moved into his gig. And the thing about Jay and me is that we do change and we do notice it and we do follow it. Getting unstuck, we both understand, is a thing that needs to happen because we get ourselves stuck. And I remember when we ended our podcast, it was not a fraught, drawn out kind of discussion. We loved it and we loved each other. And that wasn't enough to keep us going with the podcast because we were both doing different things. We didn't have quite as much time. I don't remember things very clearly, but I bet it was a 2-minute conversation, which went something like this. Do you think it's time to stop doing the show? Yeah, maybe. Okay, let's do that. And we're still the best of buds. But we know that when we get stuck in something, it is time to look around and see what's on the horizon. He also talks in this chat with me about this concept of resulting, which I'm now obsessed with. Of course, I bought the book that he recommended that we talk about on the show, and I'm already reading it and it's blowing my mind. It's Annie Duke, who always blows my mind, but this book is incredible. And it's really a useful conversation to have around how you make decisions about what you should do when you're stuck. So yes, he blew my mind. This is a short conversation. I was fighting a migraine and he still managed to get so many truth bombs in here. So please enjoy this chat with my dearest Jay Thorne. I am so glad that you're all here and doing this with me. Here we go. I could not be more pleased to welcome my friend back to the show. Could you please share your name and pronouns?
Jay Thorne, he, him, his.
Jay Thorne in the blood. Oh my gosh. I did the thing that I love to do, which is basically just place. What is a word? Push, record. I'm too excited.
Yeah.
When you start talking because I haven't seen you in so long, brother.
I know. It's been too long.
Oh, I have a little bio here to read real quick. It may be right or wrong. So correct me when we're done. Jay Thorne has published, I should do a prank one someday, but that isn't this. Jay Thorne has published 2 million words and has sold more than 185,000 books worldwide. He co-founded the Writers Inc. podcast and has interviewed some of today's most successful authors in the world. He earned a BA in American history from the University of Pittsburgh and a master's from Duquesne University. He is a husband, father, full-time writer, part-time professor at John Carroll University, founder of the Author Life community, podcaster, FM radio DJ, musician, and owner of the Three Story Method as editing agency. What did I leave out?
That's good. That'll get the job
That'll get people finding you. All right, my friend. As you know, I am kickstarting this book, Unstuck, which people can find at Kickstarter. No, rachelherron.com/unstuck. And it is all about waking up one day and realizing that even though you are exactly where you wanted to be, you don't want to be there anymore and you feel
done.
stuck. You got yourself there, you're very proud of yourself, but you're stuck. Can you tell us about a time that that happened to you or is happening to you? I've got a couple recently that they're like, I'm still in it.
Yeah, I was gonna say kind of in it.
Oh, good. Actually, I love these. Please tell.
Well, this happens to me every 5 to 7 years. I get stuck. I'm
I've known
not.
you long enough to know this is true.
Yeah, I know you're like that too. I know you have that kind of
Absolutely.
energy. Sometimes I wish I could just be that guy who like retired after 50 years in the same job and get a rocking chair and a gold watch, but that's just not who I am. So yeah, I guess technically I'm stuck because I'm in a transitional moment. I'm in between stuff right now, but over the past year or so, I've been pivoting out of author services and sort of the publishing industry and going more towards sort of innovation and education and entrepreneurship in a more general sense. But I'm not completely still in the author space, and I'm not kind of where I want to be yet. So I guess technically I am stuck.
I don't know. Let's talk about that. I feel like perhaps when do you know that you're stuck, and what is the first thing that leads you to taking the unstuck thoughts or steps?
Okay, so that I've got a really good answer for that, and it's not mine, so I can't take credit for it. This is Annie Duke's Thinking in Bets,
Oh,
one of
from
my favorite books of all time.
it's even better than Quit.
It might be my
Okay.
top book.
I'm
Here,
going to
I'll tell
start
you
reading it
why.
today.
I'll tell you why it's my top book. Of all the books I've read in my entire life, the one that I talk about the most, the one that I'm going to share with you in 2 minutes, and it fundamentally changed my life in 2 minutes. And it's such a concept that we all take for granted, and we're like, that's common sense. And then the more you think about it, you realize you've been thinking about it wrong your entire life.
Oh,
All
I
right.
cannot wait.
All right. Here's what it is. For me, being stuck means I have a decision to make and I can't decide. I think that's a pretty standard definition of being
Standard.
stuck, right?
Yes.
You don't know what to do.
And it can be as simple as like, I don't know what kind of cheese to put on the tortilla,
Yes.
or I don't know about my whole life. Yeah.
I don't know where we're going to go on vacation, or I don't know what I want to do next year. Whatever it happens to be, there's a decision that you're facing and you don't know what to do. Now, if I say this to you, you're going to agree with me. The way that you judge the quality of your decision is you make your decision and then you look and see what happens. And if it was in your favor, it was a good decision. And if it wasn't in your favor, it was a bad decision, right?
Absolutely. 100%.
Wrong.
I'm so excited about this. Tell me more.
All right,
Because
so
you know
Annie,
I'm like an A student. I want
I
to
know.
make the choice and they get an A plus.
I'm telling you, when I read this in Thinking in Bets, it blew my mind. So here's what Annie Duke talks about. She was a professional poker player, and she said poker players have this thing they do called resulting. So they're playing a hand, they play the cards, and then they judge their performance based on the results of the hand. And what she said was that's fundamentally flawed because there is no decision where your actions will guarantee a 100% consequence. In every decision you make, no matter what it is, from insignificant to major life milestones, there is an element of chance, luck, timing, like whatever you want to call it, or all of those things, or divine intervention, whatever it is. And it varies, right? But there is some element of that in every decision you make that is completely out of your control. So you can, like, here's an example, right? Like, you can plan a vacation and you can plan to go somewhere, and then you get there and there's a freak hurricane that comes out of nowhere and you have to sit in your apartment the entire time. You don't get to go to the beach. Was that a poor decision? No, it was just, you just had a, it was just a bad luck kind of thing happened. So when I heard that, I was like, that took like all of the pressure off of me as a decision maker, because up until that point, I would have to think, I have to have every single thing figured out. I have to get every factor, every variable. I have to know all the possible permutations
You have to
of
have
that
total
decision.
certainty.
And you can't. It's impossible. And then so once you go, well, if it's impossible, then I just do the best with the information I have at the time, and I make the decision. And I don't judge that based on what happens, because what happens is out of my control.
I love that so much, and that eases my heart and mind even to hear it. It's just such a, I feel like this of I feel like I'm good at a lot of things when it comes to writing. Like people say, well, how do you know if you're writing the right book? And I'm like, it doesn't matter. Just write a book. It'll be the right book, you know? But when you extrapolate that to everything else, it doesn't really matter. And we've said this before, but you don't make the right decision, you make the decision right.
And it doesn't mean that you can be reckless or irresponsible. It doesn't mean you're flippant with the decision. It just simply means if you can look yourself in the mirror and say, you know what, I looked at all the information, I like all the best I could, and I made the decision, then you just let it go after that. It's not on you. And so you don't have to take on the guilt, and you don't have to suffer over it. And as you and I used to say on the old podcast, if you don't like the decision you made, then you can just make another one.
And it's so good. This is genius. Have you heard, and I can't remember who talks about this now, but I can look it up. The guy who talks about maximizers and satisficers.
I have, but I don't recall who that is, but I know who.
I can't remember his name, but if you Google that, especially that weird second word satisficer, but he talks about how maximizers in life are the people who study everything and do laws of probabilities about what will be the best decision, and they take a long time to make a decision, and they are, studies have shown, less happy. They do tend to make more money in this world, but they are less happy than the satisficers who do the same thing. Like if they get to a decision, they get stuck. They both seem good, then just pick one. Am I going to marry this woman or this woman? They're both real great, then just pick one. And the people who do that and then make the decision to do the thing, and they are happier in life with what they do. So, oh my gosh. So, in terms of you moving forward, what are you excited to do toward that nebulous future?
This is it's a bit perverse, but I thrive in
In
uncertainty.
chaos.
There's a certain
Have you
level of
always,
excitement.
or is this
Yeah,
something you've
I think
learned?
to a certain degree. I think you go through phases in your life, and there are times where, I was a little more conservative and a little more liberalist in terms of sort of embracing uncertainty. But I don't know. I mean, we're the same age, and I'm just to the point now where I'm like, I don't care. I don't care. Like, I'll be okay.
I don't care, I'll be okay. That is literally what I am. When I sit in meditation every morning, that's one of my, it'll be all right. It'll be okay. That's beautiful. Okay, what would you, if you wanted us to come find you out there on the internet somewhere, where would we go? What should we be looking for right now from Jay Thorne?
I think if you the authorlife.com will always be there, and that'll sort of be wherever I end up or wherever I am. You can kind of go through that to find it.
Fabulous. Do you want to tell anybody about any of your newsletters, or are you doing any podcasts
No, not doing
right
any podcasting.
now?
Doing a
Then you are
Gen
just
X
Jay
newsletter.
Thorne.
That's about it.
You're Jay Thorne and you're amazing, and I'm so glad that you're doing this with me. That was really wise stuff to say about Unstuck, and I'm going to b go buy that book immediately.
Annie Duke, Thinking in
Annie
Bets.
Duke, Thinking in Bets. Thank you, Jay.
You're welcome.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of Ink in Your Veins. You can reach me at my website, rachelherron.com, and you can also support me at patreon.com/Rachel, R-A-C-H-A-E-L, where I have all sorts of great stuff for writers for as little as a buck a month. And do sign up for my free writer's email list of encouragement at rachelherron.com/write. Now, get to writing, my friends.